Life here. Excellent. Don't be shy. You know me. Come on. It's always good to come up the front. And while people are coming up the front, I am going to lead us in a prayer, and we will ask God to help us understand His Word as we look at it this morning. So grab a seat, get comfy. Very good. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us to church this morning. Thank you that you have drawn us into this big family, and that we have little people and big people, even some little babies in our church, which is really exciting as well. And thank you that we're all precious to you, that you love us. And thank you that Jesus' cross is for all of us. He died for all of us. He loves all of us. He saves all of us. And we ask now that as we study your word, that you would help us to understand, help us to believe, strengthen our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today I want to teach you a bit of a new word that maybe not everybody knows, and I'm going to put it up on the screen so we can see it. It's this word here, advocate. Can everyone say advocate? Advocate. It's not too hard to say, is it? But what does advocate mean? Well, advocate means this. An advocate is a person who speaks for someone else. Okay, if you want to make it really simple, that's what an advocate is. It's a person that speaks for someone else. But you might be thinking, well, why do I need someone to speak for me? I speak really well on my own. Yeah? Can everyone here speak? Put your hand up if you can speak. Yeah? If you've got a tongue, stick it out. Everyone's got tongues, everyone can speak. So you might be thinking, well, why? What good is an advocate? Why do I need someone to speak for me? I speak really well on my own. Okay. But I'm going to try and explain why an advocate's important. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a story to hopefully help you understand. So I want you to imagine it's tomorrow, okay, and you're going to school. What grade are you guys in at school? Are you prep, grade one, sort of around there. You're actually grade four, aren't you? So we've got some big grade fours here as well. But you're at school, and your mum says to you, today you've got a doctor's appointment, okay? So what's going to happen is, at lunchtime, don't go and play with the kids. You've got to come and find me in the car park, and then I'm going to take you in my car to the doctor, and you can see the doctor, and then I'll bring you back to school again. Okay? So that's what your mum said. So the bell rings, and it's lunchtime, and all the kids are going out into the playground, and they're playing, and all the rest of it. You think, no, I've got to go find mum because she's taking me to the doctor. So you go to the car park, but guess what? Someone sees you go to the car park. Got to guess who I am, all right? Who do I look like? Probably no one at your school, I guess. Where's this? I'm the principal. And the principal sees you and he says, oi, kid. Oh, nearly choked on that. So safety habit. I don't know how intellectual people wear these. Maybe you've got to be smart to know how to wear these. That's the problem. He says, oi, you can't go to the car park. No kids allowed in the car park. Now, you've got to come back to my office and you have to spend every single recess and lunchtime for the rest of your life in my office. And you're thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? There's a misunderstanding. He doesn't know that my mum said I've got to go to the doctor. And so you think, I know, I'll try and speak for myself and I'll explain to the principal. And you say, sir, it's okay. Mum said I had to meet her in the car park and I've got to go to the doctor. And you know what the principal says? He goes, now you're a liar as well. I don't like naughty, lying children. Now you have to spend every recess, lunchtime and dinner time and breakfast time in my office for the rest of your life. Okay, and you're thinking, oh no, what am I going to do now? And he grabs you by the arm and he starts taking you off to his office. And you're thinking, oh no, I'm going to spend every meal of my life in this guy's office. What am I going to do? I tried to speak for myself, but it didn't work out very well. It only got me into more trouble. I need an advocate. I need someone who can speak for me. And guess what? You've got one. Because who do you think was sitting in the car the whole time watching? Who do I look like now? Who do I look like now? Mum! I look just like your mum. And mum comes running out like a hero. Wait, no, Mr. Principal, it's okay. Little Johnny does, in fact, have a doctor's appointment. I am going to take him in my car, and I will have him back safe and sound by the end of lunchtime, all ready to do maths, okay? All right? See? Now you've got an advocate. Now, of course, what is the principal going to do now? He's got to get you out of trouble, doesn't he? He can't very well take you off to his office when your mum has saved the day and come out and been your advocate, can he? See how it works? So you were in trouble and you tried to speak for yourself, but it didn't work. You needed an advocate. You needed someone to speak for you, and that was your mum. She came and she spoke for you and she got you out of trouble, okay? Now, that's what an advocate is. Now, hopefully we all understand that. And you might be thinking, well, okay, that's a bit of a funny story, but why do I need to know what an advocate is? Well, the reason you need to understand it is because this word advocate, it's one of the words the Bible uses to talk about Jesus. The Bible describes Jesus as our advocate. Okay, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back after the song. We're going to sing another song in a second, so the music team can start coming up. And after we've sung this next song, I'm going to come back up and I'm going to explain to you how Jesus is our advocate as well. So you guys can go back to your seats. We'll have a good sing, have a good wriggle around. You've been sitting and concentrating very well. And then I'll come back and we will find out about how Jesus is our advocate. Okay, so before the break, we learnt this new word, advocate, and we spent a bit of time trying to understand what it means. I think we've worked out what it means now. It's someone that speaks for somebody else. And we saw at least one instance, didn't we, of where that can be pretty helpful when you're in trouble with the principal and your mum can come in and save the day. But it's actually an important word to understand for more reasons than that. You see, in the book of 1 John, that's a book in the Bible, 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, Jesus is described as our advocate. And I'm actually going to put the verse up on the screen so you can read it with me. And you can see the word advocate there. Let me read it out. It says, if anybody does sin, we have an advocate. There's the word. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, you see that there? Jesus is described as our advocate. Now, why do we need Jesus to be our advocate? Well, I think that verse answers that question for us as well, doesn't it? It says we need an advocate because of sin. It's if anybody sins, then you have an advocate. Now, that's good news because in the Bible we find out that actually we all sin. And you know what? You don't even need just the Bible to see that. You don't have to look very hard at your own life before you see that you're a sinner, that you fail, do you? We all have moments in our lives where we disobey God, where we ignore him. And when we do that, we cause terrible problems, don't we? We end up hurting ourselves and we hurt the other people around us. Sometimes we even hurt people we love very much, don't we? And we damage this beautiful planet that God has given us to look after. But the worst thing about it is that actually sin makes God sad and angry. Because he doesn't like it when people ignore him. And he doesn't like it when people don't look after themselves and each other in this precious world that he's made. And actually the Bible says that God's not going to let that go on forever. There's going to be a time where he puts a stop to it. That's in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. It says people are destined to die once and after that face judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but I actually find that verse a bit scary when I think about it. Because I imagine just me having to stand before God's throne, right, and know that he has seen everything I've ever done. And he hasn't just seen the things that I've done, he's also heard everything I've ever said. All the mean stuff, all the lies I might have told, all the stuff I've said about someone when I know they're not listening, all that stuff, he's heard it. And he hasn't just seen everything I've done, and he hasn't just heard everything I've said, he also knows everything I think. He's seen all the thoughts I've had. And so I imagine myself standing before him going, that's a bit scary. I can't fool him. I can't hide everything from him. He can see into my heart. He knows everything I've thought and said and done. What can I say for myself? What would I say? And I think, you know, if I did have to say something, I don't know what excuse I could make. I've got nothing to say. I can't speak for myself. But that's where Jesus comes in, because he can speak for me. Yeah, remember we saw an advocate was someone that could speak for somebody else? Well, Jesus can speak for me. And the reason he can speak to me, or for me, sorry, is because of what he's done. And actually that 1 John passage goes on to explain it for us. This is the very next verse. It says, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Why can he be our advocate? Well, he can be our advocate because of this. Now, I know there's some big words on there as well, okay, and we won't go into all of those. But just to boil it down for you, really what that's saying is that Jesus has actually taken the punishment for our sins when he died on the cross. He didn't ignore it. He didn't sweep it under the carpet and pretend it didn't happen. No, he died on the cross in our place to deal with every single sin that I, you, and everybody has ever done. So what that means is, when I'm standing there before God, quaking in my boots because I know he's seen everything I've done and thought and said and think, I know I have an advocate. Jesus is right there with me, and he's going to speak for me. And he's going to say, you know what? I've taken care of it. There's no problem here. No problem with Dave. He's with me. He's one of mine. I've done everything that needs to be done for him to be forgiven. Now that's wonderful news, isn't it? To know that you've got Jesus there to be your advocate before God's throne. And the great news is it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter how badly you might have failed in your life. You know? And maybe you're sitting there at the moment thinking, oh, yeah, but I am such a failure and I always struggle with the same stuff and I mess things up. But you know, even now, Jesus is there being your advocate before God. It's wonderful stuff. And there's this song that we sing. Actually, we're going to sing it in a minute, so I might get the musos to come back up just while I'm doing this. We're going to sing this in a minute, but I think it just captures what Jesus has done for us so well. And I just wanted to read out some of the words before we sing them, just so we can think about it, because I think it really sums up what Jesus has done for us on the cross to be our advocate. It says this. It says, before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. That's the advocate thing, yeah? He's pleading for us. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me to depart. Great words, aren't they? And I'd like to ask you to stand and we'll sing them now together.